2 Corinthians, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. God has placed a word on my heart, and I feel it's a word for such a time as this. I know every pastor says that, right? Every preacher says that. I've got a word from God for you today. Like, I get it. Like, I'm on assignment from the Holy Spirit. Like, I get it, but I truly am. I don't know about them, but I truly am. So I really have a word for you, and here's my goal for everybody in the room, okay? If you don't know my methods so far, I love taking verses that we all know, we all understand, we all love, and then breaking it down even more, because some things that in Scripture are easily understood, but they're hard to apply. So I like to look at the application other than the understanding of the text. So I don't want you to walk away today going, I understand what he said today. I don't want you to walk away saying that. I want you to walk away today going, I'm going to apply what he said today, okay? And not just for you. Come on, can we have the application affect the people around us? Some of you need this word today to affect your home, your family, your friends. You need this word to affect your job. And I'm telling you right now, if you'll just stay with me for the next 20, 25 minutes, I believe that God is going to say some really crucial things in your spiritual journey here this morning. And so we're going to begin with Paul. Paul is writing the book of Corinthians to the people of Corinth, and this is what he says. He said, I don't know how to silence that, but there you go. 2 Corinthians says, but he answered me, my grace is always more than enough for you. Yeah. We're done. Message is over. Let's go home. I'm telling you, if that's all we heard today, that would be enough, right? His grace is enough for you in the midst of complaining, difficulty, stress, worry. His grace is enough. Amen? Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time. I'm just kidding. Okay. Grace is enough for you. It says, my power finds its full expression through your weakness. Listen to this. Paul is crazy here. He says, so I will celebrate my weaknesses. For when I'm weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. The next few passages says this. So I'm not defeated by my weakness. Come on, someone. I'm not defeated by my weakness, but I'm delighted in them. For when I feel my weakness and endure mistreatment, when I'm surrounded with troubles on every side, face persecution because of my love for Christ, I am made yet stronger. For my weakness becomes a portal to God's power. Paul is out of his mind when he's writing this. He's absolutely out of his mind. I don't know about you. I do not like weakness. Right. I don't like weakness. I don't like to be vulnerable. I don't like to be exposed. I don't like it. I want to know that I'm in control. I've got everything figured out and the appearance of such as well. But if I'm being honest with you this morning, I am in a place of weakness in my life. And if I want to really apply what Paul is saying here, then I need to celebrate the fact that I'm weak. I need to celebrate the fact that in my weaknesses, my God, who resides in me, is at his best in my life. And I have to acknowledge something, that our God has never asked us to handle things on our own. He sends someone to comfort us, which we'll get to in just a few moments. So I've entitled this message, you ready for this? I've entitled this message, I am weak. I am weak. Let's pray. Father, we give this time to you. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, you would speak to our lives, that God, we would leave this place applying your word to our life, not just with an understanding of what's being said, God, but an application to our lives to affect us and those around us. I pray that your word would speak so clearly through me in Jesus' name. Amen. I was 19 years old, good looking, buff, not really, but I was 19 years old. And I remember that season of my life, I was hitting the gym pretty regularly for like 3 months. That was it. Full tilt, I was going, okay? And I remember just, I was going to this gym, it was called Temple Builders. Come on, Jesus. My gosh, it was a holy gym, okay? Holy people prayed in that gym, all right? And so Temple Builders, I went, and I remember this one particular day, I was just feeling really strong. Guys, you ever just feel really strong? I know Pastor Glenn wakes up feeling real strong every day, you know? But I just, this particular day at 19, I was just feeling really strong. And I'm like, I'm gonna lift me some weight today, you know? So I get into the gym, and you know when you feel strong, you walk into a place and... My wife loves this stance when I do this. So I'm like, I tease her sometimes. I was like, babe, if I look like this, would you still love me? She said, no. Anyway, so I walk into the gym, man. I've got the tightest shirt I can find on, you know, because I know my muscles are just going to be showing in the mirror. And I'm like, everybody's going to see what I'm working with, right? What God has blessed me with, okay? And so I'm in the gym, and I don't look anything like I think I look like, but the mirror is telling me something different. That's a whole nother message. Okay, so I'm in there. And I'm lifting, I'm curling, I'm doing all kinds of weight. There's people in the gym. And you know, when you go into the gym and you're a beginner, you always look at what other people are doing, what other people are lifting. You're like, how much are you lifting? I'm lifting more. Like, somebody grabs the 30s, you're grabbing the 40s, right? And it's like, And they do 5 reps, I'm going to do 6 reps, right? So it's a battle between yourself and somebody else in the room. It's weird. So anyway, so I'm lifting, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling great. But then I get to this moment, and I'm like, you know what? I'm feeling really strong. I'm really feeling myself right now. So I go to the bench. Some of you may know the concept of this. So I go to the bench, and I load up the weight on this bench. I forget how much it was. It was like 300-something pounds. So I put...
Don't laugh.
So I put the weight on the bench, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to lift this thing today. And I stare at it for like 5 minutes. I'm going to lift... this thing today. And I hype myself up. You go to the gym, you understand what I'm talking about, right? You hyping yourself up, you smacking yourself in the face, you're like smacking your legs, you're like making grunt noises that you wouldn't normally be making, like, I'm ready, okay? So you're like hyping yourself up. I'm walking around the bench, I'm like, I got this thing. I'm like feeling it, I'm making sure the weight is okay. I'm like spinning the weight, I'm like, all right. So then I come over and I lay down, I'm like, all right, I'm ready to do this thing. I'm ready, here I go. No, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready. 30 minutes later, I finally sit on the bench after looking at it, and I sit and I go, okay, I'm ready to do this. By the way, there is nobody in the gym at this time. I am completely by myself. It is a war with me, myself, and I. This weight I'm putting through the roof, okay? Because I am strong. So I make sure I look good in the mirror first. Check. Then I sit down, and I lay back. I said, all right, here we go, okay? I grab the bar, and I lift. And you know the noises you make when you lift? You're like, ah! And I'm right here. I'm like, all right, I got this. I come down real slow. I'm like, ah. And then with everything in me, I push with all my might. I try to do a sit-up. It doesn't work. I'm like, ugh. I'm looking around. Ain't nobody in sight. I'm like, no one's there. I feel this weight on my chest, and I'm like, help! Someone help! I don't know where the person behind the counter is. They're brushing their teeth. They're using the bathroom. I don't know. I'm like, help! Finally, this guy comes over. He was like, hey, you all right? I'm like, you see me with this weight on my chest? Of course I'm not all right. So he comes around, and he was like, all right, well, let me help you. And with one hand, he picks up the bar, and he goes, droop. I'm like, he said, you all right? Yeah, I'm fine, dude. I'm fine. Bro, I was on my 15th rep, and I tried to do 16. I just couldn't get it. He looks at me, he was like, oh, okay, all right. He looks at me, he was like, next time you should ask for a spotter. And I said, no, you're right, that's probably good advice. But I thought I was strong enough to lift the weight on my own, but then when I got under the weight and felt the pressure, I understood that I really couldn't lift the weight after all. And I don't know about you, I don't know if you've ever been in a place in your life where you felt weight on your chest or you felt weight on your life too much that you could not bear. and you got stuck. You got stuck under the pressure of jobs. You got stuck under the pressure of marriage, under the pressure of finances, and maybe you're dealing with the weight of your sin. Maybe you're dealing with the weight of your past today. Maybe you're dealing with the weight of a divorce in the room, and you're just under pressure, and you feel weak. And something that you thought you were supposed to be able to lift, you had all the confidence in the world to lift, you are now in a place where you are stuck and you are yelling for help. Can I have good news for everybody in the room today? We have a spotter. His name is the Holy Spirit. His name is the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, if you'll turn your attention to the screen, this is the definition of what a spotter is. It's someone who helps while lifting weights. Their role is to be a helper if anything should go wrong or assist them. They give the person confidence to lift more than they normally would. The Holy Spirit gives you confidence to lift more than you normally would on your own. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter what the weight was on this particular bar. It could have been 400 pounds, but if I have a spotter who is stronger than I am, it doesn't matter what the weight, my Holy Spirit, come on, make it personal. The Holy Spirit that lives in me is greater and stronger than any weight that I'm currently feeling that's on my life this morning. Come on, I'm excited this morning to celebrate that I'm weak, and so are you. Come on, can we stop running from the fact that we're weak? I know we don't like it. I know we don't like telling people I'm weak. We don't like that, especially men, right? We don't like that, right? When we're in a small group and, you know, we open up. What are you going through? I'm cool, man. I'm cool. Especially as a youth pastor. Listen, I'm in small groups with like 16, 17, 18-year-olds. You kidding me? I'm asking them they're weak. Like, nah, man, I ain't weak. I'm good, homie. I'm good. I don't know if they do that. That probably made me look real weird, but anyway, I'm good. Listen, when we start celebrating the fact that we're weak is the moment the Holy Spirit has room to make us strong. But if we don't make room for him to be strong in us, we will constantly feel that we can do it on our own. And I got news for everybody. We can't do it on our own. We can't go through this life alone lifting weight. And I don't know about you, but I read this from Charles Stanley, just a great preacher of our time. He said, I preach out of my weakness. So I thought today, man, why won't I be weak and vulnerable on stage with you so that way we can all apply this thing together? Because listen, though we preach on stage, I also have weaknesses. As a matter of fact, currently, I am going through a weak moment in my family. I'm going through a stage of weakness right now, and the enemy is coming to pull my family apart and cause division and struggle and strife. And I had a moment in the car with my wife yesterday on the way home from Jacksonville to preach to you today, and I just remember saying, I said, this is exactly what I'm talking about tomorrow, and this is something I'm going to apply to my life, because I know that my God is stronger than the enemy of what he's trying to do in our situation. And I came from Jacksonville, glory. I live here, but I came from Jacksonville. I was on vacation. See how I did that? I came from here. I came from Jacksonville to here to remind everyone that you have got someone that is stronger, that is greater, who is a helper and a comforter, and his name is the Holy Spirit, and he wants to lift what you can't lift this morning. He wants to do that for you. He wants to. But if we're being really honest, sometimes we need the weight in our lives. We need the pain. We need the pressure. We try to run from it, but we need it. Because listen, if we don't have weight, we don't grow. If we don't have pressure or pain, we do not continue to grow. As a matter of fact, this quote says this, growth and comfort do not coexist. They don't coexist, everyone. So if you want to get stronger but not get uncomfortable, you will never grow and take your next steps with God today. So what does that next step look like? What does it mean to be uncomfortable? It means to trust in a Holy Spirit that you cannot see or hear all the time. And putting your trust in him, knowing that he is your helper. See how easy it is to understand all of this? See how easy it is? You know what the difficulty is? Is actually applying this to our lives. The application of actually going to the Holy Spirit and trusting in Him when we feel the weight. We say things like this: you don't know the weight I'm under. You don't know the weight I've experienced. You don't know the weight of my past, the weight of my sin. How can a God send a Holy Spirit to me? He doesn't know, or do you know what I've done in my life, what I've been through in my life? How in the world can this be alleviated from me? And I would say to you, then why did Jesus die on the cross to bear all of your sins, of your past, present, and future sins, if He wasn't strong enough to take them away from you to begin with? If we're dealing with pain and suffering in the room, if we're dealing with anxiety, if we're dealing with hurt or whatever it may be, the losing of a loved one, whatever it may be, I just want to remind you the Holy Spirit is here for you. He's here in this room, and He wants to alleviate what you may be going through today. Matter of fact, in the book of James, it says this, and kind of puts it into perspective. It says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Isn't this a message all in itself? That when pressure is on you, what comes out of you? When you're squeezed, what comes out? And I would hope that everybody in the room, when you're squeezed, man, praise and worship comes out to a God who is your helper. But if we're being really honest with ourselves, and I'll be honest, when I'm squeezed, that always doesn't come out of me. Complaining comes out of me. Other things come out of me when I'm squeezed. Listen, it doesn't mean that we have to be perfect. It means that we know who to go to help us in our imperfection, and it's the Holy Spirit. I love that God never said, here you go, handle it on your own. I love that we have a God that said, hey, listen, I'm sending a Holy Spirit, so you don't have to do it alone. So why in the world do we want to do this thing alone? Why in the world do we want to try to lift this weight on our own? Because if we're being honest with ourselves, it's not weight that we put on ourselves. It's weight that life puts on us. We lose our job. Something happens financially, and that's weight on our lives. And yet, I can figure it out. I can make it happen. I can do it. I can fix that relationship instead of turning to the one who can fix it. As a matter of fact, James continues to say this. He says, so don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. The trials and the weight and the pressure causes you to be complete in who God wants you to be. And if the old saying, right, no pain, no gain. We can't go through this life in our comfort zone expecting God to do great things in our world if we're not willing to step out of our comfort zone. If we're not willing to take a next step and trust, some of us, it's just trusting. It's just trusting that the Holy Spirit resides in us. And if you'll stay with me, we're going to walk together in how we can invite the Holy Spirit to live inside of us here this morning. But without further ado, here's what I'd like to do. This is a very special friend of mine, and he is a friend of yours as well. He is my helper, he is my comforter, and he is my strength. Would you put your hands together for the Holy Spirit? Come on. Hallelujah, Santo Jesus. Who knew he'd be so good looking? So, if I can come back to the weight for just a few moments. I know you saw me press it. I know you know where I'm going. But if you can just picture yourself right now, that whatever life has thrown your way, whatever you may be facing, you are going through, and I can list a bunch of things. Come on, would you just, you know what you're going through right now. You know what you're facing at the moment. And you try to do it on your own. And you're like me, where you're by yourself, and you feel like you can lift this thing on your own, and so you attempt to. But some of you, if we're honest, a lot of you are like this today. You've got weight that is currently pressing on you. It's sucking the life out of you. You feel like you can't breathe. You can't have your head above water. You feel like you're drowning in debt. You feel like you're drowning in your relationships, and you don't know where to go from here. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, stop with doing this on your own and thinking that you can wiggle your way out of it and connive your way out of it and call on other people. Come on, can we get to the place where we say, Holy Spirit, help me. Come to my aid now. And as he does that, you're able to lift the weight that is on your chest and on your shoulders, and you're able to breathe. But listen to this, because here's the kicker. When we call on the Holy Spirit, we feel as if he comes in and removes the weight from us. Sometimes he doesn't remove the weight from you. He just helps you lift the weight that's on you. See, the Holy Spirit did not take the weight from me. I still had to push. See, we still have to do our part in this process. We can't just leave the weight on us and expect the Holy Spirit to take the bar up and put it on the rack. Can I tell you, when you're in the gym and you work out, the objective of the spotter is not to completely lift the weight. It's to help you push past what you normally would not do it, but it's still based on your own strength and the Holy Spirit's strength, your spotter that comes in right when you need him and says, you got this, you can do this. I know it doesn't seem like it's moving. The bar isn't budging. I know it's heavy, but if you would stay consistent, if you would not run away from the pressure, if you would understand that you're not crushed. As a matter of fact, the book of James, it says this. In the book of James, it says, consider it a sheer gift that under pressure, listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I went ahead of myself because I'm so excited right now. 2 Corinthians 4, it says, though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. At times, we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. Listen, if you decide to quit the mid-set, guess where that bar is going? Back down. Back down. But it says quitting is not an option. We are persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We may be knocked down, but not out. It may be heavy. It may hurt. I may be in a place where I'm being stretched right now, but guess what? I am weak and I accept that, so I can load up this bar knowing that I have a comforter and a helper that is stronger than me. Stronger than me. But here's a question I have for you today. Who is your spotter? Who is your spotter? Because if we're being honest with ourselves, when we face pressure, when we realize that we're truly weak, we don't call on the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, I want to introduce my second guest, Miss Fill in the Blank. Come on, give it up for Miss Fill in the Blank. When I ask the question, who is your spotter? When the weight of life is too heavy, who do you run to? Who do you go to? If you don't go to the Holy Spirit for your help, fill in the blank. Who do you go to? Do you go to a spouse? Do you go to a friend? When life seems heavy, do you hide yourself in electronics? Do you hide yourself in your work to get away from the pressures of life because you don't want to deal with it? Who do you go to? And looking at both of them, can I be real with you? If I'm going to lift more than I've ever had to lift before, I am not calling Miss Ashley Poole to help me be a spot. Why? Because Ashley has not lifted this weight before. She is inexperienced with this. She doesn't know what to do. And I may get injured even more so under that weight. I'm not saying that we can't lean on our spouse. We can't lean on other people and smoke. I'm not saying we can't do that. But if your primary source is not the Holy Spirit, your spotter will let you down every single time. Your wife, your husband, your kids, your grandkids, your job will let you down every single time. The Holy Spirit will never leave you, never forsake you. And if we call on him as our spotter today, come on. It doesn't matter if we're weak, because when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. I'm strong when I call on the Holy Spirit. I'm not strong when I lean on other people and complain and vent and them to pacify my attitude and them to agree with how I'm reacting to things. No, it's Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you. I'm weak today. I'm telling you, I'm not preaching this. I'm telling you, Joe Ciro is weak today. I am. I was praying this whole service. Like, God, if you're going to speak through me, you're going to have to speak through my weakness, because right now, I don't know how. When I go back to Jacksonville, I don't know how. I don't know what it's going to look like. But I'm leaning on the Holy Spirit to spot me right now. I'm leaning on Him to help me lift this thing in my life right now. Because guess what? No one else is going to be able to. My wife is not going to be able to. My pastor is not going to be able to. No one in here. It's the Holy Spirit. He is a person. He is strong. He is alive. He is real. And He wants to lift your heavy burden today. He wants to bring you that peace today. He wants to comfort you today. His primary function is to be a helper. Don't be afraid to yell for help today. Don't be afraid. Don't allow the enemy to keep you in your seat today, bottled up and, I got this, I'm good. I tell you, and I believe it was Judas Smith that said this. He said, I'm tired of people saying I have seasons of going through something, seasons. He's like, my whole life is a season. I'm always going through something. How about you? It's like, I'm always going through something. Like we say, oh, it's just a season of weakness, and or it's a season of this. And can I be honest? I used to say that too. But now it's like, hey, I am weak. I'm weak often. Often. And I need a Holy Spirit who is strong more often. I need a Holy Spirit. Since it's the last Sunday of the year. It's the last Sunday of the year. I want us to finish strong. I want us to finish strong. You know, I'm not a big fan of like New Year's resolutions. I'm not a big fan of that. I'm a fan of right now. If you want to make a change, if you want to do something, let's do it right now. Let's not wait till January. We say January and it leaves room for excuses or whatever you want to do. Let's right now. Let's go after God. Let's make a change now. Let's not wait till January. Let's not wait till the 7 days of prayer and fasting. You know, right now, what is it that you need from the Holy Spirit? What do you need Him to do in your world right now? That if you would surrender your will to His, if you would bow down to Him, what is it that He would be able to lift from you today? Listen, let's not just get through the end of the year. Let's finish strong. Let's finish strong. As a matter of fact, I see a lot of comparisons with the gym and the church. A lot of comparisons with the gym and the church. In January, the gym's gonna be full. I'm not looking forward to that. People take my machines. February, the gym is empty. Hey, in January, the church is full. In February, the seats are empty. You know what's fascinating about the gym and the church? There are more, I'm choosing my words carefully. In the gym, there are more people that are out of shape in the gym than there are people that are in shape in the gym. There are. Can I tell you, in the church, there are more people that are spiritually out of shape than there are spiritually in shape in the church. The church and the gym should not look the same. It should not look the same. Listen, I don't want us to start strong in January. I want us to finish strong right now, carrying over to January. Let's do this thing now. As a matter of fact, there was a gentleman by the name of Gary Ryan Blair, and he said this: many will start fast, few will finish strong. But not today. Not at City Church. Not December 29th, 2019. No, no, no. We're not going to wait till January, right? We're not going to wait until 7 days of prayer and fasting. Listen, we're going to begin it right now. I want us to be a church that finishes strong, that goes after God, that is filled with His Holy Spirit, that is charged and energized no matter what we may be facing or going through, to carry over into January, not to begin in January. Paul says it like this in 2 Timothy. He says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. Come on. Let's be a church that remains faithful and doesn't just start fast. Let's not start fast. Let's finish strong. Come on. The slow and steady win the race. The slow and steady, not those that start fast. Someone said it like this. Listen, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Come on. We want to finish strong. Amen. Come on. Can we stand to our feet this morning? I ended a little early because I fully believe in finishing strong. I fully believe in finishing strong. I fully believe. So here's what I want us to do. I don't know what it looks like for you to go after God. I don't know what that looks like for you. Whether it's raising your hands, closing your eyes, bowing your head, running to the altar, bowing a knee, whatever it looks like for you. I know if we're not careful, we can kind of put everything into one category, like run to the altar, everyone raise your hand, everyone bow. Whatever it looks like for you to go after God, if your hands are, whatever that looks like. But let this be a moment this morning, on this Sunday, come on, at our 9:30 service, that we would not leave this place the same, that we would say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I'm weak and I have to be strong. I can't go back home the way I'm feeling. I can't go back home with the pressure that I'm trying to push right now. I need a spotter. I need you to come into my heart and fill me fresh and new, that God, I may be strong, because right now I am weak and I admit that weakness. As the worship team leads us, like I said, whatever it looks like for you to go after God, go crazy, go nuts, be silent, whatever it looks like. But can we take the next few moments and let's go after God in worship this morning? Come on, let's worship. Overflow.